Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
What's that?
Oh, this?
Yeah.
It's just my keto brick.
Keto brick? What's a keto brick?
Well, keto brick, well, it's an actual brick, which is awesome because it lasts me a really long time. Can't say the same for you.
Nope.
But keto brick is an awesome keto-friendly snack that it could be used so many ways, you guys, seriously. But it is keto-friendly, high-fat, low-carb, has really, really good macros. It's shelf-stable, which I love because I like to take it with me when I leave the house with the kids. And it's got no sweeteners, none of the crap that we're usually staying away from. So no allulose, erythritol, corn fiber, soy, any of that stuff that we're usually avoiding. But it makes such a great snack. I also love it just as a treat. I like to put it in my coffee, and the kids love it, so that's a plus.
I totally agree, and I have one of these every single day.
An entire brick.
Everybody knows I like to crush mine up into cereal and have it like a cereal. My current favorite flavors are peanut butter and chocolate peanut butter cup, which we have right here next to us. What about you?
I really love the peanut butter because it's nice and smooth, but my other favorite flavor would probably be toasted coconut.
Yeah, toasted that almond coconut really is amazing. Of course, as you all know, we are great friends with the owners of this company, Robert Sykes and Crystal Sykes. And both of them, when this started, they were just wrapping these things up in aluminum foil and shipping them out themselves, pulling all-nighters. And here we are several years later. It's an amazing company, guys. They have vegan options, vegan-friendly options, as well as whey options. So the two flavors that I mentioned are chocolate peanut butter cup and peanut butter. And the chocolate peanut butter cup is whey, and the peanut butter is with the pea protein. So if you don't tolerate whey, no worries. Or if you're on a vegan diet, no worries. You can have the peanut butter. So guys, click on the link in the description of this podcast episode and check out the Keto Bricks ASAP. It gets the Fat Fuel Family seal of approval. Anything else?
No, that's it. It makes a really great snack. A little trick I will just give one last tip is if you want to melt it down, I like to melt it down and put it in little molds to make it just bite sizes for the kids because it's a brick.
It is a brick. Get your Keto Bricks.
Do it.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Vega, and I am joined by my, what am I going to say?
Fasted,
but at the same time, also, since we're like on the topic of hip hop, you're going to be my fly girl, like my own personal fly girl from the 90s. So I'm joined by my fly girl, which is accurate because she was a dancer.
Yeah, I'm a dancer, so that would be accurate.
And we are joined by someone that I discovered just like 3 months ago, and I just was like, the first minute I heard it, I was browsing Instagram, and Dayton put one of the tracks from We Will Go, and I was like, who is this? And then that was it. Once I put We Will Go on, like the whole album, how much did I put that on replay? Just on repeat. So I want to introduce our guest today. We are joined by Cephas, who's a Christian hip hop artist and promoter who got his start in 2002, carving out a reputation for himself as a go-to producer for combining vintage vibes with modern sonics. His soulful, jazzy productions garnish the attention of some of CHH's elite. When you hear us say CHH today, we're going to say CHH because, number one, that's what the cool kids say. And number two, it just rolls off the tongue better than saying Christian hip-hop every single time. But these are the people that kind of got his attention. It was Dayton, Bizzle, Sail Out the Corner, Cuban, by the way, Social Club, KB, Tadashi, and others. As a DJ, Cephas has had the privilege of backing NF at Creation Fest and also co-hosted as a DJ for KB, Tadashi, Thousand Foot Crutch, and the Jabberwockies. I mean, who doesn't love the Jabberwockies? With Nick Hall for the Pulse Cleveland Crusade. Artistically, he blends styles and pushes boundaries, combining the vintage vibes of 90s hip-hop, the aggressive build-ups and drops of modern dubstep with the deep grooves of jazz funk fusion. I don't see the dubstep too much, but maybe it's just like one or two productions that got that. But the other stuff, like the I mean, I already told you, I texted you, like, you know, Jay Dilla, like, I see Dilla, I see Madlib, and these are like my favorite producers. So that's why I just like, I love your stuff, man. So today we'll discuss his backstory, the state of Christian hip hop, and why we believe it's so important that Christians stop participating in the beast system. There ain't nobody quite like this, comfortable in his Christ-likeness, Cephas. What's up, man?
Yo, I appreciate that, Danny. Thanks, man. That was quite the intro. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
Bro, we're just so happy to have you, man. And I just got, do you remember this crew that it was like an early, mid-90s hip hop called something like the Tunnel Rats or something like that?
Bruh. Oh, man. I got a story about the Tunnel Rats. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Well, I want to hear your story, but I just so funny. He just reached out to me, Dax. Just reached out to me. You know, he does jazz now out in Cali.
Really? Yeah,
so, like, if you go back to – he's going to be hours away because he's in L.A. But, like, if you go back to – you guys got to link up, man. I mean, he's reaching out to me about
diet stuff. That would be sick.
Yeah, he wants me to give him some advice for diet stuff. And I said, okay, I'm going to charge you. The only thing is you got to come on the podcast because we got the new school right here with you. I put him on to your stuff. And then, you know, I'm going to definitely play that one song that I loved from him. It's just one that's really good, but that whole album was so good, and then they just kind of fell off a little bit. It just, the timing wasn't right, you know. But tell me your story about them.
Long story short, I had a secular hip-hop show when I was in college. I went to Oberlin College, which is like an art school, basically art and music school in Ohio, and I basically was the hip hop guy at the radio station. This is back in the day when college radio meant something.
Oh yeah.
And if you were into underground music, that's how you got hip. Which through college, okay. So you guys know, you know what I mean?
Miami.
So
Miami has a really good UM has the.
Yeah, we only had.
Facts.
Yeah, it was the hip hop shop.
Electronic stuff though, like, well, that was me, like the disco-y stuff.
I love that too, but like for me, I'm always been a hip hop head. The hip hop shop Thursday nights. 10:30 to 1:30.
You know,
yeah,
dude, that was it. Like, I feel like back in the day, that was the spot of mine. Yes. You know what I mean? Was college radio. Like, that's how you discovered new talent. You know what I mean? And so anyways, long story short, had a really good time doing that. I actually ended up getting a chance to like interview Common, interview Gangstar, interview MC Light. I don't know if you were hip to like Rhymesayers at all, you know, like Atmosphere and those dudes. So I got a chance to do live freestyles with Murs from Living Legends. It was crazy, bro, because Talib Kweli, it was just crazy because the college facilitated a lot of shows. Yeah. And so I was the hip hop radio dude there. They and so whenever through. A hip hop show would come through the college, they'd come up and do an interview with me or come up and do live freestyles with me. And it just worked.
So you interviewed Guru and Premier?
It was a God thing, man. Yes. Wow. Yes, that was backstage. That was when Gangstar was touring with Common for the Electric Circus tour.
Oh, yeah, it was like 2001, 2002 maybe.
So, yeah, dude, you're good, bro.
Really
yeah,
good
straight up. It was like 02, 03, something like that. Like, but anyways, long story short, man, it's funny because this ties into exactly what we were talking about before we logged on was I got saved in the middle of me going and having this show. And my older brother in the Lord, you know what I mean, at the time, would come up to the show and just kick it with me, like, after I got saved. And he was kind of, like, mentoring me. And he saw, like, my passion for everything. And he seen me spinning, like, old Nas and Wu-Tang and Tribe Called Quest and Roots and all this stuff. And like, he just pulled me aside one day and was like, yo, like, how do you feel about promoting, like, violence and drugs and, you know, mistreating women? And I just was like, man, I ain't trying to hear that, man. Like, I'm like, yo, this is like, you know, and long story short, man, I converted the show. I got convicted. I prayed about it, converted the show to a Christian hip hop show. But I did it by faith because I didn't even know what Christian hip hop was. It was real bad, bro. Real bad. And I'm not dropping names because I'm grateful for all the legends that did it back then and paved the way for us now. So, but it just wasn't at the level it is now, obviously. But long story short, they dropped me like immediately. So I had like the number one show on the station. As soon as I turned it to Christian, I mean, I was preaching the gospel on air. They dropped me. But I went to a Christian bookstore, went to the hip hop section, and all I found was Tunnel Rats. And so Tunnel Rats, like, help me, man. Tunnel Rats in the early years, like, help me, like, believe in Christian hip hop and believe that it could be a thing and believe that you could still have skill and you could still rap. And, you know, you didn't have to water your skills down in order to be Christian. You know what I mean? You could keep your skill level up and still, you know, be a Christian. So shout out to Tunnel Rats, man.
I love that. And, you know, when you said that you don't have to water down your skills, like, I'm going to just say this. I think it's easy to throw in an F-bomb or an S-bomb, like, when you need an extra, you need an extra something to get you to that 4-4 or whatever, instead of, like, putting an actual word there. You know, it's like a filler word. Yeah. So you have to be more conscious. And what is Bizzle says, like, he's like, he said something about this, like, it's on Lucky You. That's, you remember that song Lucky You? It came out last year. And he was like, he said, this not hip hop in a lesser form. This truth music, harder to make, but it's better for him.
He was just pretending that he didn't remember because he knows.
No. I had to go through the library. Danny, I had to go through the library.
Let me tell you something about Danny real quick. Danny can memorize lyrics like I've never seen.
Freestyle though. I will memorize the flow. I will memorize lyrics, but I will.
It's incredible.
I could do graffiti.
I was just going to ask, can you spit?
No, I can't.
I was going to say, maybe you could spit, bro.
I had really good skills as a writer.
Don't say that. Maybe you can. You're blocking yourself.
Man, in college, I tried so many times, man. I tried, like, me and all my teammates, you know, we all loved hip hop. And it was that type of hip hop, too. And, like, when it comes to this stuff, like, it's, oh, I like conscious hip hop, which, you know, it is. It's conscious. A lot of the causes, when you really dig deep into them, they get more and more into things that I don't support. As a Cuban American, you know, a lot of them are linked with communism and socialism, and it doesn't make sense how it works. So it's like, okay, fine. This guy may not be objectifying women like your typical rapper is, but then they're pushing something else that's also just another deception, you know? So, like, you know, I listen to music now. Well, I haven't listened to, like, worldly music. It'll come on. Like, I have a friend that's still, he's an old school hip hop head like me, and he'll send me stuff. And, like, half the time I don't want to open it because I don't want to like it, you know? Like, even when I'm talking about this 90s stuff, like, I get that. We talk about something called euphoric recall. It's like when you're an addict and you start going into the stories that you used to, of the things you used to do. Like, whether it be food addiction or drug addiction.
Oh, yeah. Even a smell can take you there.
Yeah, you go right back into it. And, like, I don't want
to
do...
You know, what's crazy is I used to smoke weed. And so, like, heavy. And whenever I smell a skunk...
Weird, right?
I am going to hold you up. I go into that euphoric recall. Yeah. And I got to be like, nah. I got to be like, not happening.
Yeah, I think...
Totally. Or, like, that gum. Remember, like, the gum? Are you chewing it right now?
I'm chewing it right now.
Yeah, that gum, I used to chew a lot in my addiction. And I don't even like to chew. Like, I can't chew it. It reminds me of that.
I got so better weird. With the gum. I took
it's
a break.
It's the weirdest thing, yeah.
But, like, yeah, man. Like, so, like, we talk about this stuff and, like, we get all excited about it. And I want to try to avoid that. But, like, you know, the music, I just think, like, you mentioned, like, the weed thing. Like, we have been talking about this because we have our medical cards. And just because of that, like, it's like, oh, we have our medical cards. So it's like, oh, it makes it more acceptable, right? And then, like... It's not, we're working, God is working on us, man. Because, like, we listened to someone, his name is Austin Witsit. He's Christian. He's amazing. And he said that he went through the same thing. Like, you know, maybe I'll just smoke a little so I don't get too high. And then it was like, but then when he finally made that decision, God started, like, really revealing things to him. He started to have dreams and I'm like, that's what I want. And she said yesterday to me in the bathroom, she said, you know, the it's not about stopping to do something. It's about not having the desire to do it anymore.
Yeah, it has to be a heart.
Because if you stop, then it's like you're a dry drunk. And if you ever seen a dry drunk, they're miserable. Because they're stopping by, like, it's like someone who follows the law.
Right. They're just following the law. Right.
Yep.
Right. It's like the Pharisees. Right. Yeah. It's like the Pharisees. Well, let's get started.
Yeah, sorry. She's like pointing at it. I'm like, man.
Well, we always lead off with the question. So it's a good... conversation starter, but what is the most critical problem that you are currently trying to solve?
And this could be personal. It could be something you want to change in the world.
I want to help people that solve the problem of the void of life. Like, what is life about? And solving that through the gospel. That's the problem I feel like I'm always solving. I'm an evangelist, so at my heart. So, you know, I get to a gas station and I see somebody with lonely eyes. You know what I mean? I'm going to go up to them and say, hey, man, you all right? You know what I mean? Like, and that's the problem I really ultimately want to solve everywhere I go.
Man, we've been going through the same thing. Like, we feel the Lord tugging on our hearts. And if you're not tapped in and you're not being intentional, like, you'll just shake it off. But like in the last couple of years, we've just stepped it up, and especially after last year. So now whenever God says, ask that guy if he needs help. Remember the guy from the thing? I mean, this guy was all dirty. The kids he was with were all dirty. He was trying to use the phone in, Joanne Fabrics. And I was like, hey, let you use my phone. And I'm like, what did I get myself involved in? Because later on, like, some girl was like texting me.
Those are probably her kids.
Yeah. So the kids weren't in good shape. But it's like, it's too late now, because now my boys know. And so now my boys are like, hey, that guy's asking for money. Why haven't you given that guy money? Oof, you know, why haven't you helped him? You know, and like, you know, we can use this.
That's awesome.
I think it's a good time to segue into the next question, because we can use so many excuses for why we don't do things. And we always say, like, well, I don't go to church because I had a bad experience. And it's like, we need to accept there's things about our church that aren't perfect, but we're being fed and we are growing. And so, like, tell us about your superhero origin story. Like, what got you started and everything? We heard a little bit about it. What led you to become a CHH recording artist? And she doesn't know this, so tell the story behind how and why you wrote the song A New Day.
Yeah. So kind of piggybacking off of what we were literally just talking about, like, I had that radio show. I got saved. I switched it to a Christian show and it got dropped. And that show meant everything to me. I mean, because I really thought, like, from there moving forward, I would springboard.
It was a yearly show?
Yeah, it was annual. Yep, exactly. And I'd been doing it for like a year and a half, and I had made all those connections and, you know, interviewed a lot of my, you know, favorite artists at that time. And so for me, like, in my mind, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be a DJ, you know? And then when it got dropped, because I, you know, turned it to a Christian radio show, I just remember going back to my dorm room depressed and like just praying to God and being like, yo, God, what's up? Like, I switched this over. And I'm a young believer. I mean, we're talking like months into being a believer, you know? And so I'm like, Lord, like, I gave this show to you. I dedicated it to you. And then it got dropped. Like, what gives, you know? And I just remember the Holy Spirit being like, son, I've called you to create records, not just spin them.
Oof.
And that just sunk. Oh, man, dude. Oh, man. And fast forward to today, it's like, who would have thought? But, you know, I don't know, man. So that kind of started me on my journey. You know what I mean? That's kind of like what got me into Christian hip hop. And I just, from that point forward, I just started digging into Christian hip hop and going to all the shows and just trying to see wherever the Lord took me. I got production software from a buddy down the hall from me. And he just got me hooked up. So it was me, my laptop, and a set of headphones, and I just
Drum machine, just the software.
Just the software, man. Just Reason. Yeah, this software called Reason. And I literally flunked out of college because all I did was sit in my dorm room and make beats. And in fact, I would forget to eat, and my homies would come and knock on my door and be like, yo, Darilla, because my last name is Darilla. Italian, obviously. And they were like, yo, Darilla.
I'm glad you said that, because I didn't know it had a Z in it. So I was like, mm-hmm. It has a Z, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The silent. Z silent. So it's like gorilla with a D, Darilla. But they were like, yo, Darilla, like, you're going to come to lunch. Like, we're about to go to the cafeteria or whatever. And I'd be like, yeah, I'll catch up with you in a minute. They'd be like, all right. So they knew that. And they would just come back with plates for me and just knock on the door. Be like, here's some food, fool. Like, eat this, man. You know, so like, so that's kind of how I got started, I guess. And what was the other question? Sorry. What was the follow up question?
Story behind New Day.
Yeah.
Oh, New Day. Okay. Yeah, so, man, so long story, man, super long story short, I went to a church that ended up turning into a cult. like a full blown cult. And it didn't start that way, but it ended that way. And the pastor's son was like molesting people and raping people. And it was just, it was heavy. It was super, super heavy situation. And I had been through probably the same level of mind control as, say, like, I know you guys are familiar with MK Ultra.
Oh, yes. Man. Yeah.
So similar style mind control, but like, and witchcraft, but like using scripture. So it was just really, really kind of crazy. And when I got out of that situation, I was really, really like messed up. Like I didn't even know,
like,
know
what
the
to
Bible
believe.
Was true. Yeah. I didn't know what to believe. Exactly. I didn't know what to believe. Like, and so I actually went through a divorce at that time because I was married at that time. And when we left that church, it left the cult, like our marriage just didn't survive. You know what I mean? Like nothing survived. And I was so depressed that I actually was like sleeping for months, meaning like all I would do was I quit my job, everything. Like I couldn't even function. It was crazy. It was like I was incapacitated. It was honestly like, and when I went searching on the internet for like solutions on like how to solve my problem, I kept running into people that had been like in satanic ritualistic abuse and people that had been in MK Ultra, and their testimonies and their like situation. I was like, this is what I went through. So that's like, that's why I say that is like, I've never, anyway, so I wasn't getting out of bed, man. It was like, literally I was in bed for like 12 to 18 hours a day, like outside of just sleeping at night. You know what I mean? So all I did was get up to eat food and get up to use the restroom. And I mean, my muscles even started to go into atrophy.
Yeah, that's like hopelessness, like just no reason to do anything. No,
100%,
no motivation.
Not that deep.
100%, man. And then when I started getting lifted out of that, the Holy Spirit started lifting me out of that slowly but surely, ministering to me. I started listening to sermons again. I started filling myself up with the Word again. Started praying more, and then things started improving. And I wrote New Day to my old self in that period of my life. I wrote New Day to help people that are in that similar type of position to just get up, to just get out of bed, to just plant their feet on the ground one more day. And to be, and to focus on being grateful and thankful for what you do have, as opposed to thinking about all the pain and all the suffering and all the things that you've been through or what you don't have. And so that was kind of like the main inspiration around New Day.
God, I get goosebumps. And like, she knows I don't get emotional, but like, this topic has me emotional now, because like, I went through depression for the first time in my life, like, you know, last year. And I didn't even think I was capable of being depressed. Yeah. Like, I just thought that I was just a different person. And like, you know, there's so many times that you think you're getting out of it because you know, it's like, now I know, okay, now it's time to fix it. But it's not that easy. And like what you said just hit me so hard, bro, because, you know, the number one thing was that you had to get back into, you got to press play on the sermons again. You got to start opening up the Word again. God has never left. He's always been there. You know, he just says, oh, this guy's going to do his thing now. Okay, go ahead. Hit your head a few times. Do what you got to do. You know, as you're doing that, I'm going to turn the volume down a little bit so you can just handle this on your own. And then when you come back closer to me, I'll turn the volume back up. And that's what happened to me. Like, I started to hear him again. I started to see him again. And like now it's to the point where it's like, we have these platforms that we think are big. I mean, it's not the biggest platforms, but it's big. You know, there's thousands of people that follow us. And like, and now it's like, I really don't care what anyone thinks. That's why my thing says, you know, losing followers one truth at a time, you know, because it's just.
I like, love it.
Yeah. And I see that in you, bro. I see that in your music. I see that in, you know, this mixtape. By the way, we got to plug the 30th, the We Will Go remix is coming, remix mixtape. And the first one that I heard on there has like a, like kind of a premiere type of beat on it. Like it sounds like a Gangstar beat. So I loved it. I heard it last night or this morning. Yeah, man. So I'm gonna murder this because I just don't have Dayton's voice or flow, but this is what hit me And I wanted to use this as how I'm going to jump off this question. So he says, I've even seen my hero slipping. Selfish ambitions got us ego tripping. It's a problem when all the people listening can't tell that you're a Christian because they see no different. So my question to you, is CHH filled with imposters? And is the Father's hand still on the genre? that's what Dayton says.
That's a heavy question, man. Yeah, yeah. I know. I know what you're saying. Is the Father's hand still on the genre? I would say absolutely the Father's hand is still on the genre. Just like you said just moments ago, like he's never left us.
Yeah.
You know, he'll never forsake us. So yeah, he is. But I definitely think a lot of people have walked away from him.
Yeah. A lot of artists, you're saying?
Definitely.
Oh, I see.
And I'm not here to, and I don't want to drop names or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, I don't know, man, we know each other by our fruit, and we have to go by that. We have to trust that. We have to trust what the word says about fruit. And when you see bad fruit, like, you just have to understand that it is what it is. And you got to call a spade a spade. And I just think that, I mean, we're here. We all have different messages. We all have, you know, God's given us, you know, it's like the body, you know, the hand can't say to the ear, I don't need you, right? We all have, like, you know, different things to focus on. You guys like focusing on, you know, since you're Cuban Americans, you guys love focusing on socialism and communism and the evils of it, which I obviously, we all share the same sentiments there. But that's like a message, right? But you're still tying the gospel into what you do. You still tie Jesus into what you do. It all comes back to that ultimately, because the solution for communism isn't necessarily a democratic society. It's Jesus.
Yep, 100%. Yes, it's not.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not a political system.
Conversation. You got to take that out of the world, and you got to take it into that kingdom conversation. Yeah. 100%.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think Christian hip hop went awry when they wanted to fit in with the world. And they didn't want to be judged. They didn't want to be made fun of. They didn't want to become, you know, called corny. And when you talk about Jesus, the world's going to call you corny. There's just no getting around that. There's no getting around that. But I mean, Jesus said himself, like, you know, you confess me in front of men. And when you get to heaven, I'm trying to think of the right phrase, but that's not the right, not confess, but like, you acknowledge me before men, and when you get to heaven, I'll acknowledge you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You deny me before men, and when you get to heaven, I'll deny you. And I don't want to be on that list. I mean, I definitely want to be, you know, somebody who is keeping the gospel at the forefront, because I know that it was great men that came before me and women that came before me that sacrificed being cool and popular in order to preach the gospel, who were able to change and impact my life. And so I feel an obligation to do the same for the next generations. You know what I mean? And I feel like Christian hip hop doesn't hold the same convictions it once did. And it breaks my heart.
It breaks my heart too.
I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to call nobody out. I'm not looking to start beef. I'm just heartbroken over it.
I feel the same way, bro. I'm not going to say names, but it's like, you get an opportunity to go on the morning show or Hot 97 or any of these. And like, you gotta represent, like, you know, you gotta defend the body, and you gotta represent the body of Christ, like, so that people can see it. And like people put on a Christian hip hop playlist and then they feel like they check the box. But then I'm listening to the lyrics and I'm like, this perfect example, one of them that I'm like, oh, cause he got skills, is like talking about, you know, Trump and politics. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, to me, it's like, you know, it's not about Trump. It's about your obsession. It's kind of like my pastor, we go to a predominantly Black church. And my pastor says, if you say that you're a Black Christian, you're wrong. You are a Christian Black person. So it's like, if I say that, like, if I'm talking about politics, exactly. And like, if you're talking about politics, it's fine to talk about politics, but like, connect it with the gospel, and I'll respect you. Even if what you're saying, I don't agree with.
Right.
If you find a way that I could say, man, that sounds like that could be biblical, then I'll respect it. But it's just like, it's like you're doing the things that are going to get you the pats on the back from the world.
Right.
And I can't stand that at this point. Like, no, I just can't. Like we went to a church that they closed down. They didn't open until 3 months after we started going to our new church. And it's like 3 months later, we heard they opened up and we're like, oh, wow. 3 months later. Can you imagine all that time? You know, we're supposed to be in fellowship. Anyways, sorry, I've talked a lot.
I think they got paid to close down too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, we know about...
That's my theory.
Some churches, and I have to be careful since we're on YouTube here, but and my pastor spoke about it, but there's actually some churches in our area that only opened for the sole purpose to distribute what I'm trying to avoid right now.
The thing that they're trying to stick
us with. Experiment.
Yeah. Genetic modification.
But I'm like, a church. They're not opening for service. They were just opening for that. And it was just like, oh, okay.
And my brother-in-law went to a church because they hadn't been to a church for a while. And they went for like Christmas services. And like they're walking around and, you know, slapping hands with Santa and the elves and all the reindeers. And then they're leaving and they see over there on like the little corner. Yeah. They see like a little nativity on the side. Like nobody could even see the nativity. And it's like, you know, we don't even have to talk about the historical accuracy of when Christmas is, but the bottom line is that we're celebrating Christ's birth, period. That's what we're here to celebrate.
That was the main event.
Even if, you know, you could say it was, you know, the winter equinox or whatever the heck, you know, it used to be in the pagan religions that are associated with that time of year. Bottom line, God knows my heart. I'm celebrating Jesus's birthday. That's what I'm here to do. That's when we've established that. And like for you to do that and make your church, the house of God, a place where you're just talking about Easter bunnies and Santa Claus and things like that, and you're not actually talking about the thing that's important, is like heartbroken.
But everything that happened
is written.
Yeah. It is written. Like it's almost like there was somewhat of a cleansing this year, because he does say it in the Bible, like, I will sift the wheat, and remove my candlestick. Right?
Well, in Revelation, there's a part where he talks about like, it's going to get to a point where people will refuse to believe the truth. And now he's going to actually be the one who's going to just finish the job and deceive them, because they've already rejected him. There's a verse there.
Wow.
So like we have to, before we get to that point, we have to work as hard as we can to like, you know, really win souls over. That's really what we're here for. So,
All right, so our next question is, when it comes to entertainment and music, the church seems to turn a blind eye to, you know, I'm just kind of, I guess, going on with what we're already talking about, our obsession with watching things like Game of Thrones and getting excited for the new Drake album. We've personally been on this journey for 2 years, and we know where we stand, but we would love to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, like entertainment and like participating in the world's seductions.
For sure. So... oh, man. When I had that Christian hip hop show, right, and I switched it from secular to Christian hip hop, I had a CD collection that was in the range of maybe 2,500, 3,000 CDs. And so you remember those black booklets with the zippers? Man, those things were awesome, man. And you could just tell so much by a person by, you know, because they threw them in the back seat. So whenever you get in, hop into somebody's car, you go snatch it, unzip it. Like, I'm about to see what you're about.
Yep, burning MP3s.
Yeah. Man, I remember burning CDs for girlfriends. Oh, my goodness. I'm dating myself. All right. So anyway, but back in the day, I did the exact same thing Dayton did when he did Turn It Off Volume 1. I don't know if you remember his first. So when Dayton came out with his first mixtape, it was called Turn It Off Volume 1. All about what we're talking about, turning off the secular influences, shutting that door to the enemy who's got an inroad in your life through music, art, and entertainment. And to promo the album or the mixtape, Dayton took all his CDs and dumped them in the trash, like right on camera, and was like, forget that. I'm done with the secular stuff. So long story short, I did the same thing. I didn't know Dayton at this time. I mean, you know, we weren't homies yet, but I did the same thing. And my real close homie, Jay Cray, shout out to Jay Cray, if you ever watch this, bro, he got pissed at me and was so angry. He was like, dude, you had the ultimate hip hop collection of all time. and you threw them out. He's like, tell me what. He was mad at me. He was yelling. He's like, dude, you better
dig it up.
Yeah. He's like, you better tell me what dumpster, bro. He was so serious. He was like, going to go to the dumpster and like search through it and like find the CD collection. Cause you know, back that was thousands and thousands of dollars of CDs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's so he was just like tripping. And honestly, I've had my battles with it since then. I was very strong and held very strong in my convictions for a very long period of time. And then I kind of dwindled away from those convictions and started listening to secular music again. Because I am a musician, because I am a recording artist, I do think that I should be paying attention to what's going on. But I severely, severely limit my exposure to it now. And since I've consumed so much music over my life, I kind of feel like I've discovered my sound. I've discovered kind of who I am. And I think I don't really have to follow trends anymore. I can just follow like the guidance of the Holy Spirit with where he's taking me musically. And so I'm not even really interested anymore. And at my current state, like for the sake of the condition of my soul and my mind, I've cut myself off from pretty much all art and entertainment, honestly. I mean, it just is what it is.
That just reminded me, and I had to look it up, but in Philippians 3:8, it says, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So.
Wow. If that doesn't wrap up the conversation in one scripture, I don't know what would.
And it's
man.
True. Like, amen. It's true. Praise until we God. Get to that yeah. Point, because we all have things and we all are.
And there's no judgment
that we struggle with.
Please don't take this as judgment.
Oh,
people.
No, you guys.
Please.
We all have our own work that we have to do and our own convictions that we have to deal with. But it's till we get to that point, we can't, you know, like we have to count it all as loss.
And like the things that, you know, it's easy for us to like make the big decisions that are so easy. It's like,
yeah, like
I'm not going to do cocaine anymore. Right. I'm not going to watch porn. Like, look at me. It's like, you're supposed to, your low expectation, haven't
you? Yes, I'm you know? Supposed to.
So like,
yeah,
it's
filthy animal.
Yeah. But it's like now it's like when we start to really get into our idols, like we want to hold on to them. And I'm like, now.
And I can't lie. Music is a hard one for me.
Yeah, it really is hard. We
not hip hop.
We
and stuff.
Love
like, it's easy for me to obviously.
But I got you in a Gangstar. I got you. She like.
I love Gangstar.
Ever since I put on what was the album that I first put on for you? Oh, Moment of Truth. Because to me, that's my favorite Gangstar album.
That's the best.
That's the best one. Yeah.
It's so good.
And Moment of Truth, the song.
That song is
like,
so good.
We were coming up together, like we were like building this life, and we were doing better, and there started to be people in our lives who weren't really happy about it, so like we would both like be telling the lyrics to each other because it was all about that. But like, you know, I'm not gonna lie, it's hard for me too, man. Like, you were skateboarding somewhere and like I heard Running playing in the background and I'm like, it's a classic Dilla beat, it's classic Far Side, classic Fat Lip lyricism, you know, and I'm just like, oh, that's just so good. And nowadays, and then Tribe has been my favorite group since I was like 11 years old. And then Outkast was my favorite group too. Cause a lot of these.
Yeah. Outkast.
Yeah. Like 94, my friend, my next door neighbor had the Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music and nobody in Miami knew about him back then. It was all Atlanta. And when I listened to that, I was like, ooh. And then 96, I went on my sophomore trip in high school and I picked up on the same day, the Tribe Called Quest Beats, Rhymes, and Life, which critically people didn't love it, but I loved it. And Outkast ATLians, which was just like on a different level between the production, you know, that what's the name of the production before they started doing their own production, like Big Boy and Andre. It was I forget the name of the people. They did Goody Mob stuff. They did their stuff. It was that. Yeah, I forget the name of the group, but the collective. But like, now it's like, number one, in seventh grade I got kicked out of middle school. My dad destroyed all my tapes because this was before. Yeah, this was before. He's like, it's all this rap music, you know, and he just like broke my tapes. I had a little, you know, those little wooden crates. Like, I had a big wooden crate with like everything in there, like old school, like Run DMC, and like back then, like what's his name, Pete Rock and Seal Smooth, and all this stuff. And I was just like, And it's like now, you know, I feel like the fact that I want to bothers me.
Yeah.
It's like, I need to work on this. And like, this is the main.
You know you're getting there. You have to hate the sin. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to literally hate it.
Yeah. Because it is. I mean, look, again, everything is sin. They're like thoughts that we have are sin. Yeah. So like, if you're not a believer and you're listening to this and you think that we're judging, understand that like, we don't put sin in categories where we say like, your sin is greater than mine.
Yeah.
You know, if you do this lifestyle, you know, it's better than me. It's worse than me who had
listening to whatever, a rap song.
Or even opened up an Instagram and saw a girl and had impure thoughts, you know, like they're all the same. But the main message is number one, try to like put in that effort and see what happens. Like you're going to be blessed in probably not in a worldly way. So I'm not trying to say that your life's going to be better because we just started to step up our giving like a few weeks ago. The minute I did it, you were out of town. It was the weekend that you were out of town.
I immediately,
like the Bible says, immediately.
Now I get everybody to notice that word.
Immediately. Yeah.
It's so many times in the Bible.
Yeah. It says immediately. And like, but immediately I was attacked. Yeah, and like,
immediately you'll be right.
And like, you know, that told me, and I texted her and I was like, you know what? Yeah, expect it. And just like, understand that like, this life is just a stop, you know, and I'm storing treasures in heaven. And at the same time, like, I'm trying to spread the love and the hope and you know, the promise that the gospel gives us to people who just are miserable. Like everybody who I see, bro, like I run into people in the streets and they all got the same look in their eyes. Like, how you doing? You know, just and nobody's talking about it. Yeah. You know, nobody's saying like, we're not really talking about it. We're just stuck on the newest news article, whatever the media is trying to tell us to get mad about. But nobody's like saying, hey, how you been, man? Like, cause I'm gonna tell you, I'm not doing well.
Cause that was rough.
Yeah. And it hasn't ended. Like we thought it was, a lot of people thought we turned the calendar. I was one of those people. And
we're lucky we're in Florida, but like people are still really going through it.
But not only that, for me, I decided to turn the page for myself.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless of what was going to happen. Like I wasn't under the illusion that things were going to get better because again, the Cuban background, like we heard these stories growing up our whole life. Yeah. And there's so much going on in the world. I know we got how many minutes?
5 minutes.
2 minutes.
Oh, 2 minutes now.
2 minutes left, man.
I could probably go to about 12. I can go till 20.
Okay.
We'll do 20. If you guys can. Okay.
Yeah. To 20.
So okay. I'm going to leave you with the floor, bro, unless you have something else. So like current events, anything that you want to talk about that you think is important. Like for me, like you said, we all have our own message. Like for me, I'm trying to tell people you need to stop looking at your neighbor and your brother and your sister and having, you know, this animosity towards them. And I'm not telling you to turn it towards the government. And well, I guess I am, but I'm not telling you to hate anybody. But like, instead of not trusting me and thinking that I'm going to kill your grandmother or, you know, like you can't hug me or be with me because like of germs, why don't you start to question the people who've only lied to you? All they've done is lie to you. So what is that for you? Like, what are you like in current events really? Cause I know like you give me like the pounds every time I put stuff on my story. So I know we're like on the same page, but like, what is like something that you, whether it's for unbelievers or for believers who are being deceived?
I would just say that the government has never, ever cared about us ever. And the mere fact that we are trusting our government, I think, is proof that we're not already trusting in God. And so I want to try to help redirect people's focus away from trusting in the government or trusting in medical science and to begin trusting the Lord. I'm one of those crazy Christians that believes God still heals today supernaturally. And I've seen miracles by the laying on of hands through the power of Jesus Christ. I've seen it in my own life. I've been healed miraculously of certain diseases and things. I've seen other people in my life that are close to my life be miraculously healed of certain things. And so I just want that, you know, outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that, you know, the secondary message would be You know, we can't trust arts and entertainment anymore. We can't trust the government anymore. And I don't think we can trust medical science anymore either.
Oh, it's not science. Because it's not even science. It's wizardry, propaganda. Witchcraft. And
100%. Yeah, well said. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's the word for it. It's witchcraft, man. Yep. It's manipulation, man. And I think this whole COVID experience either pushed you further away from the Lord or drew you closer. And I don't know why the Lord chose me, and because I'm just a wretch, man, if it wasn't for Jesus. But by God's grace, man, this caused me to draw near to him and rekindle a deep relationship with him that I didn't even realize I had kind of wandered away from a little bit. And my hope is that as we move forward and as things get more intense, because they are going to get more intense.
100%. They are. Yeah,
I truly am believing in my heart, and I'm declaring in my prayers that we are going to see the biggest revival in American history. I believe that it's already in motion right now. There are evangelists who nobody has heard of, doesn't come from a big church with a big name, just hitting social media, hitting the streets. There's street evangelism happening in a way that I haven't seen in a very long time. And I think that is going to increase and increase and increase. And the next album I'm about to drop in August/September, right after this remix project, is called America Shall Be Saved.
I love that.
Studio album?
And a studio album, yeah. And it's 100% produced by myself, front to back. Yes. It's kind of a hybrid between hip hop and like maybe like gospel. Some songs could be considered straight gospel tracks.
Love it.
And the goal is to spread the message. Listen, revival's here, guys.
It is.
Jump on the train, because God is about to do some Book of Acts stuff all over again. And just make sure you got your pants tied on tightly, man, because you're going to lose them. I'm telling you, if they're not tied, make sure you got everything tied down, man, because God is ready to accelerate and move in mighty ways through those who are willing to yield themselves to him. And I'm just praying that I can be one of those. And I know you guys are too. And that would be kind of like my main message would be, look, revival is coming. Jesus loves you. You know, he died for you. He bled for you and rose again on the third day so that you could have everlasting life and live with him eternally. And people right now are losing their trust. They're losing their trust in the medical system. They're losing their trust in science. They're losing their trust in the government. And that's only going to increase as tyranny begins to increase. And so I want to make sure that we meet those people right where they need to be met with the true answer. You know what I mean? And that's kind of, that's really it, man. So it kind of ties in the communism in with the gospel, really, the anti-communism and the gospel, because I mean, communism is really a force looking to eradicate Jesus from the earth. I mean, communism is the political system of the Antichrist.
It is. They actually, like, if you look into like the Freemasonry, like, and the Rothschilds, they love supporting communism. Like, it's great for them.
It's so fear based, anyways. And you have to think about it. Like us three right here, I can confidently probably say, like, we are not scared of anything
except
all.
God.
Like,
not at all.
Kill me, for real.
Like, 100%.
And so when you remove that fear, you have to remove the fear of God to make people act this way. Look how scared they are.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you don't remove the fear of God, if you have the fear of God, you're not scared of anything else. Not even dying. So you can't scare people into acting this way. So that's why they have to scare people and remove God, because of that. And you just reminded me of one thing, and my pastor said it this week in church, and it's such a good point for us that are believers right now. And I know for myself too, like, I don't even want to say anymore, I'm praying for people. Like, unless I actually do.
Yeah.
Because I don't think we're praying enough, and we actually do have the power, just because it, like, God is waiting for us to pray, and he is waiting for us to intercede. So we need to do that and pray, and we can pray against these things, and we can pray that evil is exposed and that all these people come out, and that whatever it is that they've done, wacky science that they're doing, that it gets exposed. So just be confident in that and set the time aside, because really we should actually probably be praying all day. According to scripture, we should be praying all day. And I know that I don't do that. And it's like one of those things, like at night, where you're like, okay, I'm going to pray now.
Yeah, and it's always like I always fall asleep praying every single night.
Make a commitment. Find didn't they talk about it the other day too? Like a prayer buddy, like finding a prayer buddy even, and just having an accountability to actually get together.
Someone not in your church too. That's what makes, because that's what allows us to reach out more. And a lot of people aren't comfortable with that, so you got to prompt them. I'm just going to say one more thing because I felt led by the Spirit, and then we're going to let you go. I want to definitely pray real quick before we finish. But number one, just like with music, don't be deceived by people who are speaking what you want to hear policy-wise, but don't have God. Because like these people are there, a lot of them get paid to peddle doom and what's the word? What do they call it? Like despair porn.
Yeah, despair.
Because it's like, is this America? Look at what they're doing to your country. And it's like, I'm mad, you know, and then everybody's just all mad and nobody's doing anything. They're not acting in the right ways. Exactly. And they are buying into the same thing from someone else other than like, because I know the powers that be want to divide us, but this is dividing us too. Whereas you can be both say, no, I don't receive that, number one. Number two, I'm not going to put on a mask because I don't receive that. And like, it's okay, wear your mask if you want. But at the same time, I'm not going to be antagonistic to people
and insult you and berate you. Yeah. And like argue with you and bring strife into the situation. Exactly, yeah. Dude.
There's some things like online, like I'll get into debates with people. I'm going to pray and then we're going to go. We're keeping you too long. But after like, because I got to be forceful with certain things because people want to like say, well, I'm in aerospace. And like, so I'm like here thinking like, okay, am I supposed to be impressed or anything like that? So, you know, I'm like, you know, then we talk about these subjects and then like finally when they realize that I know more than them in certain topics, then I can DM them and say, listen, man, I'm not trying to argue. This is just really important to me. So I have to be forceful because if I don't be forceful, you're going to mistake it as weakness. But we covered a lot. We kept you for so long, but I just want to pray for you real quick, bro. Father, we just want to come to you and just pray for you for your servant right here who's committed to doing your work. Lord, give him the strength to handle anything. Help him understand what to do with every obstacle that comes in his life. Help him ask you what you want him to do with it. Lord, and we just pray for this nation. Like he said, revival is not just for dead people. Revival is for people who are supposedly alive and who have gained a new life but have fallen asleep, Lord. So we pray for this country. We pray for this world. And we thank you for your servant. And we ask that you bless him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you so much, guys. It's been an honor catching up with you guys. I can't wait to do this again, man.
Yes. 100%, bro.
We gotta meet in real life, too.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Well, a trip to Florida is coming up in October. Okay. Just I'm going to spill the beans a little bit. Dayton and I have been planning a Menace Movement takeover.
That'll be fun.
In Florida.
Where is it going to be? Like fall. All over or just one spot? Or
I think we're just going to be doing a few key locations, like a West Coast, East Coast thing.
Okay. Tampa's hot. You should come to Tampa.
But I think it's going to be like the Tampa, Orlando area. Yeah. But we'll have to. We're close to Orlando. Hopefully so we can see you guys then. Yeah.
Hey, real quick. Cephas Official. Yes, Cephas, what is the website? And tell them about, because I just learned about this, the clothing. What is the clothing?
Oh, scent ones.
Scent ones. Yeah, the gear, because I'm going to get some of that stuff.
So that's for merch.
What's the website?
Yeah, so the website is wewillgo.com with dashes in between. So we-will-go.com and then at Cephas Official. So C-E-P-H-A-S Official, O-F-F-I-C-I-A-O, Cephas Official for Twitter, for Facebook, for Instagram.
And at scent ones or scent ones.
And then... actually, if you just go to Cephas Official, right in my bio is the scent ones. They'll find it. Yeah,
and we'll put all this in the notes. Thank you so much.
All right, bro.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right.
Have a great rest of
your
day.
Pleasure.
Take care.
All right. Bless you guys. Okay. All right. Peace.
Peace.